Right now we visit with Vanderbilt head football coach Bobby Johnson. His team headed to Columbia to play South Carolina on Saturday night. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good. How y'all doing?
Doing well. You know, when you look at your offense, it seems like a couple times a game, and you think about the first drive or two of the third quarter against Georgia, the offense really starts to click. You know, you see things come together, and I know it's the way you guys envision it and, you know, the way you practice it. Does that drive you crazy that you can't do that all the time, or does it kind of give you optimism going forward?
Both. You know, a lot of things drive you crazy as a coach, and inconsistency is probably the biggest thing that does. And when you see, you know, you're doing it right and doing it on time and how it's supposed to be executed, and then other times you're not, you know, it just tells you got to keep working at it and try to get better and see if we can do that on a more consistent basis.
I know some games you feature the tight ends a little more than others. Frank would like to see you use them a whole lot more. But, you know, with Austin Monahan gone for the year, how does it fall on others, especially Brandon Barden?
Well, Brandon is going to be the main tight end for us, and Ryan Van Rensburg will have to step up and be a viable participant there at the tight end position. And, you know, we'll just have to see. Chris DeGeorge might have to be in there probably for blocking situations. You know, there's a possibility Justin Green could come back. We haven't decided that yet. We're not exactly overflowing with wideout, you know, people now because of injuries and things. So it's hard to take from one place and stock up on another without hurting that initial position.
Bobby, it seems like you guys and the Titans are in the same boat, just unable to get the motor started on offense early on for whatever reason, just sputtering. What is the kind of – how do you dissect that as far as, you know, what to kind of charge that up? Just is it about just getting out there, getting what the players like, getting it – how do you get into the rhythm where – you can kind of get some rhythm and some flow early in these ball games without, you know, kind of putting your defense in a bind right off the bat?
Well, I think, you know, probably the biggest problem with us is too many negative plays, either penalties or lost yardage. And, you know, you go second and 12 is really, you know, hard to overcome that, make a first down on a consistent basis. You do it sometimes, but it's hard to keep a drive alive if you're doing things like that.
And yeah,
that's what we're suffering through right now. And when we did have a successful drive against Georgia, we kept every down and distance manageable. You know, we were making yards on first down, didn't have a long third down and situation in any of those situations in that score. But that's the way you do it. And, you know, just give yourself the best opportunity to be successful and don't kill yourself.
Did you see anything, obviously, with Alabama did to South Carolina and what Ingram did in the run game? Was it just a matter of those guys just winning the one-on-one battles up front to get him loose? Is there anything you could see in there that you could have some success against South Carolina this week?
Well, most of his success was in the Wildcat offense, and it was late in the game. And I think South Carolina had played a lot of defense by that time. And, you know, that's one of the goals that Alabama has. They're going to wear you out and wear you down. And, you know, they took over in the second half. They only scored one touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it wasn't like it was a bloodletting, you know, on South Carolina's defense. Alabama had to work for everything, and they finally punched one in, you know, late in the game. So it wasn't exactly the beatdown that everybody thinks it was.
When you talk about using that Wildcat formation or Stallion or whatever you want to call it, how difficult is it to determine different times in the game when you want to use it, or do you kind of go into games with it in mind that, okay, when we get to this point, we're going to give it a shot?
Well, it's a combination of things that, you know, if things happen for you and you have some success maybe on first down and you can get the personnel in there to run it, it might, you know, get a defense off stride a little bit, and they might have to make some adjustments. And if you keep your quarterback in there, you can do that without substituting. We've gone to putting two tailbacks in there sometimes, and that gives us a little more variety on the offense that we can use with the stallion situation. But it's just a combination of when you want to try to do it as far as the previous success you had in that drive.
Is there kind of a debate over, okay, if I put my quarterback out at wide receiver, in some ways we're almost giving up a player, you know, that sort of thing?
Well, you know, if you put somebody out there with no hands, they're gonna put somebody out there to cover him, even if he doesn't have any arms. they'll put somebody out there with him.
It's going to make it tough to catch the ball, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They'll still put somebody out there.
Explain the call at the end of the first half. I know that was an issue as you went to the locker room the other day, but on the block field goal that you guys were able to come up with, they called a penalty, and then Georgia got another shot after that.
Well, you can't take more than one step and then jump at the risk of falling on. You can do that, but if you fall on somebody, they call it a personal foul. Well, you know, John Stokes, you know, he took two steps. Their center wiggled out, you know, underneath our lineman, and John came down, did not come down on him, but kind of sat down after the play was over, sat down and brushed the center. And if that's a personal foul, then I don't know what.
Does it bother you? How much does it bother you when you're trying to get to the referees that the radio guy is trying to get you at halftime for an interview? You're trying to go get some complaints in.
I think he felt the same way I did. He said, "Hey, go talk to those guys." He said, "Don't be messing with me."
Yeah, I wanted an explanation
exactly.
As bad as you did.
He said, "Hey, that's not right."
We got into this a little bit earlier in regard to officials. Do you get any kind of say in an evaluation process in what crews you get maybe down the road? Like if a crew messes up something and the league comes back and says, yes, you know, the coaches were correct and the officials were incorrect, can you make any kind of request as you go down the road on who you might or might not get in terms of an officiating crew?
No, cannot. I mean, you can make a request. They're not going to.
Yeah, they might not listen to you.
Listen to me. So, you know, you can't blackball a crew or an official.
Do you still, you know, from week to week, I know you, I guess, turn in a report, correct? And then the league gets back to you if there are things that maybe were in question?
My report gets shorter and shorter just because of, you know, just the results, you know, just aren't worth the time to do it.
But you know, you've been around long enough that you get the, you know what crew you're going to get, and you know you can kind of couch what kind of game, you know, he's going to call. If he's going to call it close, they kind of call it loose. You understand what kind of crew you're getting.
Sure, we know ahead of time, and you know, I've always said, you know, football is a hard sport to officiate, and it is getting even harder because of the speed of everybody, and everybody's got their little tricks and things that coaches see, but, you know, sometimes it's just impossible for those officials to see players, you know, grab a guy or hold a guy for just a second or block in the back, and it's even more frustrating when you see it on film. And of course, you know, you can stop it and pause it, yeah, and go, and you can see it, but when that's happening out there, you know, in real time, you know, you just can't say that the officials are causing you to lose.
To talk about South Carolina for a couple minutes here as we finish up, to me, Steven Garcia is one of the more improved players in the SEC, really good at getting out and running when things break down. Where have you seen the most improvement out of him from last year to this year?
Well, he's always done that. My observation, he's better at hanging in the pocket and making the throws and not staring down receivers. And I think he's really getting Coach Spurrier's offense now. But he still has that capability of pulling it down and running, hurting you. And he's one of those guys, that, you know, sort of like Phillip Rivers. You know, he'll flip it out there or act like he's going to flip it out there and run for 5 or 10 more yards. And, you know, just drives you crazy when you got everybody covered. You got a good pass rush, and he just dips under a defensive lineman and gets the first down. That just sends you, you know, just reeling.
How much has he changed, Spurrier changed his offense when you were kind of watching him back in his Florida days with that fun and gun. Is there still some concepts there? Is it the same?
Oh, sure. Yeah, same concepts of getting matchups and putting the defense in a bad situation with formations and just really, you know, matchups with receivers on linebackers and things like that. And then the other thing is, you know, most people don't realize that Coach Burrow likes to run the ball if you're going to allow him to. You know, if you're going to go back there and cover a bunch of people, he's going to run the ball as long as you allow him to. So he's just not a fun and gun guy, you know, exclusively. He'll wear you out with the run game.